Amen, preacher. Thank you. God bless you. Well, it's good to be back tonight on this final night of camp meeting. And I'm still getting adjusted to these 9 o'clock start times. Amen. And that's just takes a little getting used to. But I appreciate being able to come down. We had service today at the church this morning, and then I was in a 2-hour ordination service this evening, and then drove 2 hours to come down here. So I've had a full day, and this our final service. And I appreciate dear brother in our church, Brother Scotty, drove me down tonight to help me. I'm weary, a little bit weary in body, but good in spirit, and I thank God for that. I had a man in my church this morning. I was there, and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I need to talk to you." And I said, "What about?" He said, "I had a dream last night, and I need you to help me to see if you could tell me what this means." And I said, "Well, what did you dream?" He said, "Brother, I dreamed that I was a muffler on a car." And I thought to myself, I said, "What in the world kind of dream is that?" He said, "And preacher, when I woke up this morning, I was exhausted," he said. I said, "Well, I know that feeling, praise God. I've not dreamed I was a muffler, but I have been exhausted." Amen. Amen. And praise the Lord. Amen. Some of y'all can tell that to Mark work or wherever. Amen. And it's just a joy to see you smile. And I appreciate the Lord. Take every opportunity you can to smile and laugh a little bit, because there'll be plenty of days that you'll shed tears in this life. And I thank the Lord for his blessings. And I appreciate your kindness to me this week and just receiving us so well. We thank God for you. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Psalm, chapter 16. And I'm going to give you a brief message tonight. Hope I can encourage you in the things of the Lord tonight. If you're able, let's stand and honor the reading of the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 16, and I'm going to give you just a simple thought tonight and hope I can be a blessing and encouragement to you. The psalmist David writing here, of course, I love the writings of David. And David was a man used greatly of God. He was a man after God's own heart, is what the Bible says. But we also know that David went through great difficulties in his life, met much of it brought on by sin. But yet David had a heart to repent and get things right. I'm glad God, if a man will repent and get right, God will receive him. And I'm glad for that, and God will use him, and I'm thankful for that. But here in the Word of God, I want to read verse number 5 of Psalm chapter 16. The Bible said, "The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, we pray tonight, would you give us liberty for just a few moments tonight, God, as we bring the message, God, you've laid upon our heart. Father, thank you for this people and this camp meeting and the history and the heritage that's here in this place. And Lord, I pray you'd continue to help it to go on in the days ahead, Lord, until you come to receive your people. Father, we thank you for all you've done this week. Now give us a blessing tonight, and we'll give you praise, honor, and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray and we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated tonight. Here in the Psalms, David is writing, and he speaks like this. He said, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance." David understood something tonight that every one of us need to understand, that it is the Lord that takes care of all of us. Matter of fact, David understood this. He is the portion of my inheritance. Thou maintainest my lot. He said, in other words, David said, everything I am, everything I hope to be, everything I ever will be is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad he's the one tonight that's maintaining maintaining my lot. It's not up to me. Of course, I don't have the ability to maintain some things, but I'm glad that God has the power to take care of every one of us tonight. David began to talk about that. He said the portion of his inheritance. And then David also began to talk about, he said, the lines have fallen me in pleasant places. David said this. He said, you know what? In serving the Lord, it has brought me into some pleasant places down through my life. I begin to think about tonight, even as we're seated here in this tabernacle, this is a pleasant place. There's a lot of places tonight in this county that's not pleasant. There are people behind bars somewhere tonight, and that's not a pleasant place. There are people out on Skid Row tonight, down in the gutter, and that's not a pleasant place. But you think about a God that saved you, washed you in His blood, and brought you into a pleasant place like this. I'm glad there's a God that will lead us, amen, and He'll bring us into those places. But David also began to talk about the power that instructed him. He said this, he said, I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins instruct me in the night season. David said, there's something on the inside of me that when it gets dark, when it seems like I'm in a season where I can't see the light of day, there's something that gives me guidance and instruction in the night seasons. Aren't you glad for that? But where I really want to get to in this scripture, and I'll give you this simple thought tonight. In verse number 8, he said this, I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. That's a pretty bold declaration if you ask me. And David did not declare that because he within himself said, you know what, I'll not be moved because of what I can do. But David said, because I've set the Lord before me. He said, in other words, my eyes are fixed upon the Lord. And because He's at my right hand, David said, I shall not be moved. I remember as a boy growing up, on the playground, we used to play a game, and I never did really care much for this game growing up as a boy, but there was a game that we played on the playground. Seemed like, I guess, I was always on the losing side on this, and that's why everybody likes to be a winner. And on the playground, they had a game called a tug of war. Matter of fact, on the playground, in order to play the tug of war, you had to have a rope and you had to have a crowd on one side and a crowd on the other side. Now, it seemed like I always got on the puny side on the rope. I always ended up in the crowd that didn't have much strength, and so most of the time we were losing to the other side. I thought about tonight, David said this. He said, I shall not be moved. And he didn't say that because David understood this. There is an enemy out there that's doing his best to move every one of us. There is an enemy tonight that is pulling against each one of us. The day you got saved, pray, see, you used to pull with the world, and you used to pull with the enemy, and you used to pull against the things of God. But thank God for the day that you switched ends of the rope. Amen. I'm talking about the day Jesus saved me. I switched ends of the rope and I started pulling with God. Amen. I'm preaching on that subject. Brother Scott, give me my rope tonight. I brought this rope and I said, if we can catch the devil tonight, we'll hang him, amen, or tie him up or something, amen. I thought about tonight, praise God, there is a warfare that's going on. Every one of us feel the pull of the enemy against our lives on a daily basis. Just because you're saved don't mean the devil's going to leave you alone. I wish I could tell you that once you get saved, you'll never have a problem with the devil. You'll never have a problem with the flesh. You'll never face a battle or a struggle. But if you're truly born again by the grace of God, every day of your life you are in a tug of war. You are in a battle, amen. And I'm glad, praise God, the only way you can win it is to be like David when he said, I have set the Lord before me, and because He's at my right hand, I shall not be moved, amen.
You say, preacher, what do you got to have to win a tug of war? I begin to think about that. And the first thing you got to have, if you're going to win in a tug of war, matter of fact, I begin to think about this. Do you realize the most helpless feeling you'll ever feel is when you're pulling with everything you have and you're still moving in the wrong direction? I see church folk all over this land. It seems like they're doing everything they can to serve God. They're doing their best to stay faithful to the house of God. But the pull of the enemy is powerful and the pull of the enemy is strong. And it seems like many times you feel like you're losing the battle. Many times you feel like you're being defeated in your Christian life. I'll tell you how you can stop that. If you're going to win the tug of war, you got to have some traction. Amen. In other words, you've got to have your feet planted in the right place. Amen. Do you realize in a tug of war that it is of utmost importance how and where your feet are planted? Amen. I tell you the reason is a lot of people don't have any victory in their Christian life. Their feet are not planted in the right place. You can't have victory in your spiritual life if they're not planted at the house of God. If you don't show up to the church half of the time, you're never going to have spiritual victory in your life. You got to have your feet planted in the right place. I thank God for the day. I like what the psalmist said. He picked me up out of a miry clay and he set my feet upon a rock. Hallelujah. I'll tell you why I can say tonight, like David did, I shall not be moved, because there was a day he put my feet on the rock. There was a day he established my goings, and thank God I've got victory in Jesus tonight. Amen. I heard a fella on the radio one day, and he was preaching. He was doing pretty good for a while. He said, you know, the Lord picked me up out of the miry clay. I said, that's right. He said, and he put my feet up on a rock. I said, that's right, amen. Then all of a sudden he lost me. He said, but you know what? It's up to me to stay on the rock, because I'm liable to fall off of it if I don't stay on the rock. And I got worried then. I said, I don't know what kind of rock he's on, because the rock I'm on is so big. How in the world can you fall off of something that stretches from one corner of the universe to the other? I'm talking to you, praise God, I'm glad tonight the rock that I'm on, it's the same one David knew. And David said, I'll tell you, boys, why I'm not going to be moved. It's not because there's not a devil out there. It's not because there's not a pull out there. But I'll tell you why. Because he put my feet on a rock and he established my goings. And if you're going to have victory in your life and win the devil's tug of war, you got to have some traction tonight. If you're going to win the devil's tug of war, you need some togetherness on your end of the rope. You know, in a tug of war, it always helped if you had somebody pulling with you. I mean, ain't a one man deal, praise God, in a tug of war. I mean, they gang up on your... I like it, praise God, when you see people pulling together. Let me encourage you. Can I say to you, church, tonight, if there's ever been a day, if there's ever been an hour that meetings like this is needed in a modern age, y'all ought to gang up on the end of the rope together and say, by the help of God, we're going to pull together. Amen. We're going to keep old time religion alive in a modern day. Amen. I don't know about you. Everybody can go contemporary if they want to. Everybody can throw the hymn books away if they want to. But as for me, praise God, I'm getting my end of the rope, amen. And I'm going to try to do my best to keep old time religion alive, amen. Togetherness on the... I'm talking about sometimes the pulling gets hard. And boy, it sure is good when a brother comes up beside you and said, hey, scoot over just a little bit on the rope. I've come to help you. Amen. I thank God for saints of God down through the years that when they see you weary in the battle, they say, preacher, where can I pull at? Preacher, would you let me help you? This evening as I was coming down, Brother Scotty, I had three men out of my church today after church this morning. three different men came up and said, "Preacher, I want to drive you to South Carolina this evening." And I said, "I've already had two offers, and Brother Scotty, he's awful good to do that for me." And I thought, you know what? Here's a weary preacher. Here I am, weary in physical body, but thank God somebody said, "Let me grab the rope with you tonight, preacher. We're going to go down there and we're going to pull together for the glory of God." Sometimes we look around and all them old saints of God that used to pull for us are gone to glory. Some of them old prayer warriors that used to ring the bells of heaven are gone on to a better land. And sometimes it gets mighty lonely on my end of the rope. But thank God for somebody that'll say, "You know what? Hey, Granny may be gone, but I'm going to find my place on the rope. I'm going to do my best to do God's will in my life." Just talking to Brother Scotty coming down the road. My old daddy's in heaven, and he preached the word of God. I told Scotty coming down today, and my sister told me today after I preached, she said, "For a minute there this morning in the service when you preached, she said, you sounded just like Dad. And said you looked like him while you was preaching." I told Bill Scotty, I said, "Sometimes when I look in the mirror, I see my daddy. And that's not a bad thing. Because my daddy loved old time worship. My daddy loved, and he was one he'd pull for you. He'd help you, praise God. Boy, I tell you, sometimes I miss him on my end of the rope of pulling. But thank God every one of us has been given an opportunity. Hey, let me tell you, you may be the only one that's pulling for somebody else. You may be the only one that's trying to help somebody that's in the battle of their life. I don't know about you, praise God. We can have victory, amen. If we get some unity and togetherness on our side of the rope, you need some traction. You need some togetherness. And if you're going to win a tug of war, you've got to have some tenacity. What do you mean by that, preacher? I mean, you will never win in a tug of war with a giving up spirit. I see so many church folk today, they've got a giving up spirit, a quitting spirit, a surrendering spirit. Do you realize in a tug of war, it is a physical game? But there reaches a point in every tug of war that it not only is physical, but it becomes mental. You come to a place when you're pulling with everything you have, and it seems like you're not making any headway. You got to make a decision then. Am I going to keep pulling, or am I going to turn loose of the rope and let the other side win? Thank God David wasn't a quitter. David didn't give up. David said, "I'll tell you what, I'm not going to be moved, and I'll tell you why. Because, praise God, God put something in me that won't let me quit. God put something in me that when I get down, it pulls me back up, amen. Aren't you glad, praise God, hallelujah to his name. I'm glad he put tenacity in his people, amen." I told him today at the church, I said, sometimes as you get older, the outward man is perishing. The outward man is not what he used to be. He's not as strong as he used to be. Your hand's not as steady as it one time was. Your eyes are more dim than they used to be. But as the outward man perishes, I believe the word told us that the inward man is renewed day by day. There's parts of me that I get weak in the flesh. But buddy, there's something on the inside of me that God keeps a feeding every day of my life. And when the outward man's perishing, there's something in me that just can't quit. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Praise God. I'll tell you how you can have victory in the tug of war. Have some tenacity in the battle. Amen. You got to have some traction. You need some togetherness. You can have all of that and still not have victory. But I'll tell you where your victory comes. If you're going to win the devil's tug of war, you've got to have the anchor man. See, in the tug of war, they always had the guy at the end of the rope. He was the anchor man. I've seen some of them old boys tie that rope around their waist and say, "I tell you what, fellas, we ain't going nowhere. We winning this deal right here. You know why David could stand up and boldly proclaim that I shall not be moved? Because David knew he had an anchor, amen. I'm glad, praise God, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. I'll tell you why every one of us hadn't been killed this week. It wasn't because the devil didn't want to do it, amen. I'll tell you why every one of us haven't been defeated. It wasn't because the powers of hell wasn't trying. But I'll tell you what's kept us in the fight. I'll tell you what keeps us going on. It's the anchor, hallelujah. And his name is Jesus, praise God. And I'm glad I've got victory in Jesus tonight. In the tug of war, they always have those two sides, and usually they'd have a flag hanging in the middle, and whoever could pull that flag to one side or the other would win the match. And you know, I'd begin to think about that. You see, there was something that was hanging in the balance in the tug of war. Can I say to you tonight, church, don't give up and don't quit pulling. Because there's some things that's hanging in the balance. You see, the faith of some is hanging in the balance. Do you realize that your life may be the only witness that a lost man ever sees? You may be the only Bible he ever reads. On your job and in your workplace, your Christian life may be the difference. That man's faith is hanging in the balance. And it could be they see the faith that you have that God will do something in their life. I remember many years ago in the town we live in there and the house we lived in at that time, there was an old boy that used to live up on the hill above us. He didn't go to church, but he's a good neighbor and all that. And we lived there in the house. And right across the street from us, there was a house, and there were some migrant workers moved in there, and they didn't really speak a lot of English or anything like that, just a little bit, just enough to get by. And them old boys, they worked every day, but you know how a lot of them are. They just spend their money on drinking on the weekend, and they'd party over there at the house right across the road from my house in the street there. And one night they'd had a party, and they threw some beer cans over in my front yard. And I went over, and I just picked them up the next morning, put them in the trash. I didn't say anything to them, and they did that a couple of times, and just, you know, how lost people do. And one day, though, I noticed all of it stopped. They quit playing loud music, and I couldn't figure out why they had toned it down. And my wife, she was going up to the curb one day to take the trash to the curb, and when she did, this old boy lived up on the hill, didn't go to church or anything, and he came down through there, and he's talking to my wife. He said, "Hey, Miss Fletcher, how you doing?" She said, "I'm doing fine." He said, "I meant to ask you, says them fellas been bothering y'all anymore over here making noise and throwing stuff in your yard?" And she said, "Well, you know, now that you mention it, they've been real quiet here lately. They hadn't really said anything or done anything." And he said, "Well," he said, "I was hoping you would say that." He said, "I saw what they did, y'all." He said, "I saw them beer cans they throwed in your yard." And he said, "I thought to myself, y'all are the only ones in this community that's trying to live right and do right." And he said, "I ain't going to let them treat that preacher like that." And he said, "I went down there one day and knocked on the door." Said, "They come to the door." And he said, "I told him, said, listen, if I see another beer can in that preacher's front yard, I've got a shotgun at the house. I'll come down here and shoot every one of you." And he said, "I better not hear that loud music no more either, praise God." And that crowd, it wasn't long, they moved out. They're gone. And this is what that old boy told my wife. He said, "Sometimes I'm sitting on the porch up there at the house. He said, I hear your husband down there praying. And he said, every now and then, he don't know, nobody's listening. But he said, I hear him down there praying. And he said, I thought, you know, I'm not going to let, that man down there praying for the souls of men. And he said, I'm not going to let them bother him like that." Can I say to you, I didn't have no idea that nobody's listening but heaven. But I'll tell you one thing right now, it might be the faith of that man was hanging in the balance. And because somebody decided to stay on their end of the rope and pray and pull, it might be that that man will end up trusting Christ and putting faith in Christ. The faith of some is, the future of some is hanging in the balance. I'm here without a doubt tonight before you because there's some people before me that pulled for me. When I was a little old boy, I had a mom and dad that took me to the house of God.
I had an old uncle, Brother Phillips. You knew my Uncle Carol preached the Word of God, a powerhouse of a preacher. And boy, only heaven knows the prayers. He's in heaven now. And only heaven knows the prayers that he prayed from his little nephew. He loved me. And no doubt I'm here tonight because somebody, when I didn't even know nothing about God, when I didn't have no idea what my life would be, there was somebody grabbing a hold of the rope and said, by the help of God, my grandson, my nephew's not going to go to hell. Amen. I don't know about you. You might be the only one that's pulling for your children to get saved tonight. You might, grandpa and grandma, you might be the only one that's pulling for them grandchildren tonight. They're worth it. Hallelujah. I don't know about you. Praise God. We ought to pray a hedge about them. Amen. Find our place at the end of the rope and say, by the help of God, the future of some is hanging in the balance. The future, the faith. And I'll tell you what's hanging in the balance today in our churches. The fundamentals are hanging in the balance. Have you ever seen a day that there's as much pull on the church to go in a new direction? New Bibles, new praise and worship bands, singing them, I call them 7-11 songs. 7 words repeated 11 times. Got to have smoke and lights and all kinds of stuff like that, and everybody gets all hooped up over it, praise God. They're pulling your young people in that direction. Oh, but now, preacher, we got to do all that to reach the young people. I got news for you. The same thing that reached me when I was young, old-fashioned preaching, old-fashioned praising, old-fashioned hallelujah serving God, we'll still reach a young generation today, amen. Up there at the church, the Lord's blessed us, pastor a country church, but the Lord blessed us by some property behind us, a big old piece of property, and we just have built us a tabernacle out back behind the church. We had our first outdoor meeting this year. And I told him, I said, you know, and people, I said, I know I'm weird. I'm just weird like that. I said, most churches are rushing to build a family life center. And if you got one of those, that's nothing wrong with that. But I said, here I am wanting to build a tabernacle down by the creek in a modern day when everybody's really looking for air conditioning. Here I'm wanting to get out in the gnats and the bugs and sit on metal chairs till your rear end is numb and just sat there and just sweat. And I said, I know I'm weird. And I told a preacher friend of mine, preacher, I feel like I grew up in the wrong time. I said, this is the internet age. This is the BlackBerry age. They got stuff now. They lost me on half of this stuff. I mean, they're communicating with one another while you're sitting in church most of the time. And matter of fact, they're streaming services live over the internet nowadays. And somebody said, when y'all going to stream live? I said, we are so random that ain't no way I'd stream that live. Because sometimes I just take a fit, throw a fit on them and tell them all off. And you don't want to put that out over the airwaves. I mean, I want to have the liberty and the freedom if God just plugs me in, just clean the whole crowd up, amen. And you can't get visitors to come showing that on them, praise God. I like to trick them into coming at least once, praise God. Amen. Peel the paint off of the wall when they get there. Have them looking for the exits, man. Let me out of here. What have I got into, praise God? Where was I? The fundamentals, amen. They're hanging in the balance. That preacher, he said, no, preacher. I said, you know, but preacher, everybody else is building family life centers. And he looked at me and he said this. He said, preacher, what you built is a family life center. I said, hallelujah to his name. We've been sending the young people out there on Wednesday nights. They've been out there having meetings. And I said, they're going out to the family life center tonight. Praise God. Done had a young man saved out there underneath the tabernacle. The fundamentals are hanging in the balance. I look around at folks that sing the type of music we do, the Phillips family. We are a rare breed in these days. We don't fit in with the industry. By the way, I want to gag when them folks start talking about being a part of the industry. I'm part of the ministry, not the industry. You won't catch me signing 8x10 glossy photos or anything like that. I mean, you know, they just some of these groups that just need to remember where they came from. I mean, they done priced themselves out of helping any local churches. My Lord. But you see, most of them don't want to do no local churches anyway because there's a chance they might get preached to if they come to a church. You can go to the fair and watch them eat funnel cakes and brag on Jesus. Half of that crowd hooping and hollering ain't been in a church in 6 months. Bunch of diesel sniffers wouldn't walk across the road to hear a man preach. And then they'll drive halfway across the country, praise God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Man, I'm running rabbits tonight, Doc. I got to get out of here. But you know what? I saw him go through there, and he's a big one, floppy ears, amen? So I believe he's worth chasing, amen, tonight. The fundamentals are hanging in the balance. And I tell you, it's going to be people like you grabbing a hold of the rope and saying, by the grace of God, we're going to pass a heritage down to our children and our grandchildren. Praise God, if Jesus doesn't come 20 years from now, there's still going to be somebody down here shouting and preaching and sweating and praising God. Hallelujah. David said, I've set the Lord before me. As a matter of fact, I've got my sights on Him. He's before me. And because He's at my right hand, I'm glad the Lord can be more than one place at a time. He said, I shall not be moved. I believe God wants us to stay in the vein we're in. Stay in the path we're in. Keep on pulling for the glory of God. And I'm glad we can have victory and win the devil's tug of war. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to be here in the camp meeting. Lord, what a blessing it has been to be here. And Lord, I thank you for these that have labored all these years in this place. And Lord, how honored I am to have had this little part this week in laboring and pulling together with this group of people. Father, I thank you that you've helped us just to grab hold of our end of the rope, do our part. And Father, just to make sure we keep the old past and the old time religion alive. And Father, I pray that you'd bless every church that's represented here tonight. Every pastor, God, would you give them people who'll help them pull? Father, would you give them people who'll stand with them in this modern day? Lift up the bloodstained banner. Father, for every child of God here tonight that's weary in the battle, and it seems like, Lord, the devil's winning, Lord, I pray you to help them to set their sights upon you. Lord, understand that because you are at their right hand, that God, we shall not be moved. Father, we thank you for what you've done. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed. God's speaking to you tonight. It might be on this final night of camp meeting that you want to come tonight and say, by the help of God, preacher, I'm staying on my end of the rope. By the help of God, preacher, I'm going to do some pulling for some people in my life. Preacher, I'm going to pull for my grandkids. I'm going to pull for my children. I'm going to pull for my church. Preacher, I'm going to just find my place in the service of God. Preacher, I'm going to do my best to stay in the battle. Preacher, when I get weary, I'm going to understand that I have the anchor with me. Oh, I'm going to understand that God's put something in me to help me stay in the fight when things get difficult and when the dark times come. God has given me the power, the reins that instruct me in the night seasons. And preacher, I just want to come by the help of God tonight. And I just want to say by coming tonight that I declare
just like David, by the help of God, I shall not be moved. I wonder tonight, anybody else, some have already gathered here, if God's speaking to your heart, I want you to come. I'm going to turn over to the preacher tonight and let him finish the invitation tonight. Come on, preacher.
Yes, Lord. All right, number 13, turn in your songbooks. Come on and get around this altar and ask God to help us all to be a supporter.
Glory, hallelujah, I shall not be moved. Anchored in Jehovah, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. In His love abiding, I shall not be moved. And in Him confiding, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. Though all of heaven sell me, I shall not be moved. Jesus will not fail me, I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved. Just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved.
Amen. You know, it's sad today to see what little things it takes to move people. Little things. Things that won't matter at all. We stand before God. I tell you, we need to grab the rope like the man of God's preached tonight. Be like the Apostle Paul. He said, none of these things moved me. Amen. I tell you, he stayed with God and gripped the rope all the way till he crossed the goal line. That's what God wants out of us tonight. Amen. Appreciate that message. Brother Leonard, thank you for every message. Because it's already been emphasized. All of them has been right on target and been right to our hearts. Amen. And I was just thinking today, I think as I was praying, Lord, I want to be one of them funnel Christians. Amen. Don't you want to be a funnel Christian? I ain't made to use a straw anymore when I drink. Amen. 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 Yeah. But, brother, thank you for giving yourself to us this week and all of that. And for everybody, I want to thank Dr. Maccabee for being able to lead us again this year. Aren't you glad God's leaving him around? He may be homesick, but I'll tell you, if the Lord took him, we'd be heartsick. Amen. I thank God has given him the strength and the ability to lead us again this year. And Brother Joey, I want to thank you for leading the music. Appreciate you being faithful. And Sister Pooh, that's what they call you, Sister Pooh. Thank you so much for playing the instrument. And I tell you, being right here every night, Brother Jarvis, thank you for taking care of the money. You're the best Judas we could ever have. Amen. Praise the Lord. Couldn't find a brother. But you're a saved Judas. You know, they were other Judases in the Bible. They were saved Judases. Amen. I appreciate the good job you do in taking care of the finances of the camp meeting. Thank God. Isn't it wonderful? You just don't have to worry about things. Amen. Even give it a second thought. And thank everybody for what you've done. Pastors, let me say again, thank you for coming and bringing your churches and being here throughout the week. And we just appreciate it so much, what everybody's done. AJ, thank you for taking care of the tape, the CDs, and do come by the table and sign up tonight and get your CDs. And as Dr. Mack has already encouraged us, we need to get these chairs and songbooks up.